Well, hey, good morning, everybody. Great to see you today. I'm excited. We're going to wrap up our series called Made for More. You may have heard this, that the two most important days of your life, the day that you're born and the day that you discover why. This series kind of gets us on the journey asking three different questions. We're asking, who has God created me to be? This is an identity statement that we are God's masterpiece, that we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, that we are adopted by God, we're a child of God, we're an ambassador of God. Pastor Jake did a great job last week talking about what we're called to do, what God has called us to do. Hey, here's what I would say, that our identity, what God has spoken about our lives, and our calling, our gifting, they stay with us over time, but here's the deal. The go, where God has positioned us to go, changes throughout our life. Let me give you a little bit of an illustration. Think about a fishing charter boat. At the design and purpose of a fishing charter boat doesn't ever change. But where it goes is driven by where it can be most fruitfully accomplish its mission. And I would say that for all of us, we're the same way, that we've got a unique identity, that God speaks into our life based off of what he's done. He's given us a unique calling. But God is going to take us to different places and lead us to different positions that will best accomplish his mission. Think about it like this. Think about it almost like a funnel, that our life at the beginning, the less clarity we have, it's almost like we've got all of the things that we can do, all of the different opportunities that come our way, all of these different things. And I would say that the greatest challenge that many of us face is not that we try and fail, but that we end up succeeding at the wrong things in life. We end up succeeding in the wrong things, and that's true of a church, that's true of an organization, that's true of different families, and it's certainly true of individuals. That there are opportunities that come our way that are nothing more than just distractions in disguise. I would say that the more experience you have, the more resources, the more people that you know, the more education you have, you're going to have more opportunities that knock on your door, and these things potentially pull us off course of who you're created to be, what you're called to do, and where you're positioned to go. So at the top of the funnel, we've got all the things that we can do, but at the bottom of the funnel is the one thing that we must do. This is the one thing that God has created. This is our divine sweet spot. And I would say that without this one thing, we end up settling for positions and opportunities that just happen to come our way, and it oftentimes leads us to this sense of, there's got to be more to life than this. See, by understanding who God has created us to be, when we understand what God has created us to do, when we understand where God has positioned us to go, we're going to find ourselves in the sweet spot of God's calling on our lives. Let's talk for a minute about sweet spot. Let me give you a simple definition of sweet spot. That's when all of the given factors come together to get maximum impact from a given effort. Let me say that again. That's when all of the given factors come together to get maximum impact from a given effort. Think about this, that everything in life has a sweet spot. Think about baseball. If you've ever played baseball and you hit the ball, there's a sweet spot on the back that gives maximum impact from a given effort. Think about a trampoline. If you've ever been on a trampoline before and you jump right before somebody else and they land and you launch them in there, there's a sweet spot there. There's a maximum impact from a given effort. Think about if you play golf, if you play guitar, there's a sweet spot there where a maximum impact is given from a given effort. See, knowing who you are, knowing what you're called to do, and knowing where you're positioned to go is God's sweet spot for our life. And let me just ask this, is what's at stake if we're designed for this kind of sweet spot and yet we get bogged down by all sorts of different things that pull and distract us? What's at stake here? I think this raises the bar if we really believe that God has a sweet spot for us in our life, that we really are God's masterpiece created to do good works. But I'll tell you this, that we can know who we are, just intellectually, we can know what God says about us. We can even know what we're called to do, but if we don't have the context to put it into action, then we're not going to find ourselves living the life that God has called us to live. And I would say for most people, we don't find that sweet spot. Most people are living at the top of the funnel, just kind of busy and spinning their wheels, doing whatever comes their way, and they're distracted and they're pulled, not living the life that God has called them to live. They're not discerning. They're not intentional. So here's what I want to do. I want to give us just a couple of keys that will help us live our lives in God's sweet spot for us. Because let me give you our big idea for this morning. Here it is if you're taking notes. It's that the wrong position will forfeit the mission. Let me say it again. The wrong position in your life will forfeit God's mission that he has for you in your life. That if you're not in that sweet spot, what that means is you're going to be exerting more effort with a lower return and not experiencing the profound freedom that God has created for you to experience. So here's, let's start here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. If you have your Bibles, let's flip open there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. We're going to get a running start to verse 10, our key verse. As you're turning there, let me go ahead and pray for us this morning. Well, Father, we want to come before you and we acknowledge, Jesus, this is your church and you've got a direction for us individually and as a church. And so what that means is we need your Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning. What we don't need is another guy to speak. What we need is the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And so we ask that you, as our teacher, the one that knows us, that knows what we need, knows where we've been this week, and the experiences that we've had and the word that we need to experience, we ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us with great power and effectiveness today, and that we would not just be hearers of your word, but we would earnestly long to hear from you, and that we would then put it into action. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians 2:4, it's talking about how we were dead in our sins and transgressions, that we were enemies of God. But verse 4, this is the great news of the gospel. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, he made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And here's the purpose. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And here's our key verse. Here's our key verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. Let me just stop there for a second. Because I've got no doubt that every single one of us have had experiences in our life that seem to speak louder than the truth of this statement. We all have had, people have spoken negative things into our life. We've all made mistakes that we've made. We've all experienced heartbreaks and experienced setbacks and losses. But the truth remains is that because of what Jesus has done, this is who you are. That it doesn't matter the past experience or what anybody else has spoken to you. You are God's masterpiece. This is what God, your creator, has spoken into your life. And here's what it says. It says, which God prepared beforehand. In these last six words, it says that we should walk in them. I want to dial in these six words. Let's say these last words together. It says that we should what? That we should walk in them. Now, here's the problem is that it doesn't say that we should walk by them. It doesn't say we should walk by them. But the truth is that if we walk through life unaware, if we walk through life unintentional, it's possible to walk right past what we are created to do. Here's another problem. It doesn't say that we should walk in them someday. Once my savings are to a certain point, or once the kids are at this certain age, or once I'm at this point in my career, or once I feel comfortable, or once I have my life together, doesn't say that, because someday is a dangerous word. It's synonymous for never. Notice this, it also doesn't say that we should wait for them, that God has good works, but we should wait for them. See, so many people are waiting and wondering, God, what is your will for me? God, what do you want for me this week? God, what's your design for my life? Here's what Scripture says, is that God is not a God of disorder, which means that God is not trying to trick us or confuse us like God's will is some convoluted concept. See, who you are created to be, your identity, has been made very clear in Scripture. It's stated, this is who you are. And what you're called to do, Pastor Jake did a great job last week of saying, this is also clear in Scripture. You may need to dig a little bit and understand your gifts and understand how God has wired you and your personality, but it's made clear what we're called to do. But here's the crux, is that it's your decision whether you're willing to go or not. God makes it clear who you're called to be, what you're called to do. It's your decision whether you're willing to go or not. It says that God prepared in advance for us to do. See, there's a sense of expectation that you and I were created by God with a specific purpose in mind. And here's the great thing about this text. We read the whole thing in context, and we realize that you don't have to do good works to earn a relationship with God. He makes that really clear. You can't do anything to earn a relationship with God because he's already done everything for you, which means that you already have his favor, and you already have his righteousness, and you already have his love. See, these good works that Paul talks about here, these are the good works that we get to do of his calling that he's placed on our lives. And so the expectation that he's created good works for us to join with him in his mission of redeeming the world. And that's the kind of stuff we get out of bed and be excited about. The truth is that every person that I've ever talked with, and I bet if we had coffee together, you would say the same thing, that everybody longs to have purpose in their life. Everybody wants to have a sense of calling in their life. So here's the question. If we look at that funnel again, how do we get from the top, the can, all of the opportunities that we have, the can, to the bottom, the must of our divine sweet spot? Because between the can and the must is what we call a spiral of discovery. How do we get from the can, all of the opportunities, to the must do? So you can't microwave this process that God has a step for us. So let me just talk to you about four things that will help us discover the sweet spot of God's calling on our lives that will help us take our next steps. The discovery process starts with this. Here's number one, if you're taking notes, is that every single one of us needs to have the courage to know. The courage to know. What's that mean? It means that we've got to know who we are created to be. Ben Franklin said that there are three hard things. There's steel, there's diamonds, and there's knowing yourself, which means that this is not an autopilot process, that you can live in yourself and not know yourself. Now think about this. Why are you in the current position that you're in right now? Whether you're a student or a step-parent, where you go Monday through Friday, your vocation, your living, how you spend your hours, why are you in the current position that you're in? I found that many times for folks, we miss the sweet spot because of the expectations of other people. You've had people speak into your life, and these are broken people, sometimes with good intentions. And we can, over time, kind of develop layers over our soul. Sometimes we can develop scars based off of what other people have spoken over us or into our lives. So the power of other people's expectation is tied to your own understanding of who you are and what God has called you to do. And I would love for you to experience the freedom that God has for you by understanding that there is one name that's above every other name. And there is one creator, and he loves you, and he speaks into your life, and his voice trumps over every other voice in your life. And so for many of us, we need to take a courageous look at our lives, an honest look, and just ask ourselves, what do I believe about myself? What am I believing as true in my life, in this season of my life? So based off of my gifting and who God says I am, we've got to have the courage to know. Here's number two, if you're taking notes, is that we have to have the experience to grow. The courage to know and the experience to grow. What this means is that every single day we've got experiences that we can learn from. That every single one of us has a master's degree at our disposal every day in your divine design. But the truth is that most people don't take advantage of the experiences that they have. Because contrary to popular opinion, experience is not the best teacher. You know what the best teacher is? Evaluated experience. Evaluating it. Evaluated experience is the best teacher. And by being aware of the experiences that we have, man, when we learn from these things, it has the potential to bring clarity on where we're gifted and where we're not. And so here's some homework. If you want greater clarity on what God is calling you to do, ask these two questions. Get somebody that you trust that will speak the truth and love to you and ask these two questions. Here's number one, is what do you think I'm good at but I don't realize it? What's something that you think I'm good at but I don't realize it? I'm not aware of my gifting here. That's the first question. Here's the second question, is what do I think I'm good at but I'm actually not? What do I think I'm good at, but I'm actually not? See, people will answer those questions for you. These are what Will Mancini calls brutal questions. They're brutal and they're beautiful. They're brutal because people will tell you, and we're self-deceived, but they're beautiful because they give us a clarity on our lives like nothing else. See, every experience speaks in our life. Andrew, you liked that, didn't you? That's good. Every experience speaks in our life. See, our good experiences, they build our confidence. Our bad experiences, though, they have the potential to build our faith. And so the calling is to squeeze every experience that we have and learn from them. I'll give you a personal example. Sarah and I, we pastored a church in Boston for 4 years, and it was a difficult season, but it was an incredibly great experience and opportunity to learn. And so we had to spend some time, and we're still doing that, analyzing this. Where did we show great leadership? Where did we not show great leadership? How did we lead the church into breakthrough in that season, and where did we miss the mark? And by analyzing the season and the experience, it allows us to learn from that and grow from it and learn about who God is calling us to be. So we've got to squeeze every experience. Think about a successful experience you've had. Think about a negative or a failed experience. The truth is that once you evaluate an experience, you realize the only failure is not learning from it. It becomes a tool for discovering and discerning what that sweet spot is. So you can see, you know, what works, what doesn't work, what needs to be tweaked, what needs to be scrapped, what is this teaching me about God's calling on my life? So we've got to have the courage to know, we've got to have the experience to grow, and here's the third thing if you're taking notes, is we have to have the value to show. The value to show. One of the greatest opportunities today for us as individuals is to discover our personal values. What makes us tick? Why do we do the things that we do? And I'll tell you that every single person has values that they live by. You may not know what your values are, but you're operating from a set of values in your own life. See, personal values, they aren't what we do. They are what shape and influence everything that we do. So our values, they're kind of like faith. They're invisible in the moment, but they shape the why behind every decision and action that we make. And so if you think, if you're a person and you're a frugal person, your value of frugality will shape how you handle your finances. So a person doesn't do frugality, they are frugal. So if you're frugal, here's how it looks. You love to budget. You love to save. You probably love Dave Ramsey. You plan. You do all of these things. In fact, if you're frugal, maybe you'll do something like this. You're like, hey, I'm not going to pay somebody to cut my hair. I'm going to watch some YouTube videos and cut my own hair and then realize it's not my gifting and have to shave your own head. Okay? All right. All right. So if you're frugal like me, that's what you do. And then you realize that's not, don't do that anymore. Okay? Sarah looked at me and was like, you're not good at that. Don't do that again. It looks terrible, okay? So how do you know what your personal values are? Well, here's some questions. What do you get passionate about? What really frustrates you? What burdens do you feel? These questions are all triggers for your personal values. So when you feel strongly about something, here's what you ask. You say, why do these things make me feel that way? You keep asking that, and you keep answering the why question until it unearths your underlying values there. At Gateway, we spent about a year discerning what our values are that drive this church, and we've got them plastered over the foyer wall there, but let me just tell you what they are. We've got three values that drive everything that we do. Number one is that Jesus surprised the world, so we will too. What's that mean? Is that we want to be known by what we are for. As so many churches are known by what they are against, and we want to be known by what we're for. We're for people. We're for families. We're for discipleship. We're for our community. That's why we do these community events, that for so many people, this is their first exposure to the church, and so we do these great events, and people will come and say, why do you do these things for free? We say, we just want to be a blessing with no strings attached. It's a wow factor. See, we want to surprise the world like Jesus did. Here's the second value. It says Jesus was all about people, so we are too. What's that mean? It means that we're going to be fully and present and intentional in our relationships. That's why we place such a high emphasis on growth groups. That's why we try to cultivate an experience and an atmosphere where we can grow and develop relationships with each other and help each other take our next steps with Jesus. It's why in our personal job descriptions as staff, number one is we must disciple people. Number two is you've got to be intentional in being in the community and meeting new people. We are intentional with relationships. Here's the third value that drives us, is that Jesus gave big, so we will too. Let me just give you one example of that. Next week, Generosity Sunday, we do this once a year. We collect as much money as we can. It's always the biggest offering of the year, and then we give it all away. Jesus was crazy generous. And so with all of these things, we're looking at Jesus, saying, how did he do these things? And that's how we want to do these things. See, when you know your values, man, it creates a strong window into knowing what your sweet spot is. And the more you know your personal values, the more you either develop a gap or a synergy with the company that you're with or the people that you hang out with or how you spend your time or how you utilize your resources. And here's what I'd say. The incompatibility of values is probably the biggest undiagnosed cause of dissatisfaction today. The incompatibility of values is one of the biggest undiagnosed causes of dissatisfaction. It's one of the biggest things that cause people to say, man, this doesn't feel right. And this is just not a good season of my life. Man, there's got to be something more to this. So we've got to learn to diagnose the gaps and position ourselves in a compatible place if we're going to find our unique position where God has positioned us to go. So we've got to have the courage to know, experience to grow, value to show, and here's the last one. And it's the risk to go. The risk to go. As sometimes, as a steward of your divine calling, you need to literally go to a new place or a different position or a different organization. Listen, I'm not saying a different spouse, okay? Don't take me the wrong way. This is, you work through that stuff, okay? Okay? What are we saying is that, so what do you do if you're wondering if you've got a hunch about a step that you need to take, but you're afraid to take it? Here's a principle that I think it's safe to live by. 20 years from now, more people are going to regret the things that they did not do more than the things that they actually did do. Let me say that again. 20 years from now, more people will regret the steps that they did not take rather than the steps that they did take. I would say that it's better to take a calculated risk and fail miserably than just live in a good place and then wonder what if. And I would say for many of us in our church, knowing just the season of life that many of us are in, there are many of us that are in that place right now. And I would remind you that every single one of us has time left on this side of eternity. And if you're not in the right position, you're going to forfeit the mission. See, God has prepared good works for you to do. I would say in this life that we're given, the question we need to be asking ourselves is, where can I be the most effective to accomplish the mission for which God has given me? See, boats are safest in the harbor, but that's not where they're the most effective. So don't settle for a good spot. Live for something more. Let me just wrap up with a quick tool. If we're going to get breakthrough on our go, then we need a process. Here's a quick, simple process. 6 principles of position that will help us understand our sweet spot. And just as a recap, here's our definition of sweet spot. It's when all the given factors come together to get maximum impact from a given effort. Let me go through these really quickly because the goal is for all us to all go through these in our growth group together this week. Here's the 6 positions. Number 1 is the where factor. We're talking about geographic factors. Where on earth can I go to better express my calling? Think about scripture. God calls Jonah. He says, Jonah, you're going to go to Nineveh. And Jonah says, no. And God says, yes, you're going to go in a boat or you're going to go in a fish, but you're going to Nineveh. Okay? Where can you better go to express your calling? Geographic factor. Here's 2 is the who factor. There are people here that have a burden for people. It could be a geographic area. It could be a people group. It could be foster care or adoption. It could be homeless. It could be any of these things. Where can you go to better express your calling? What people group do you need to give your life to investing in? Here's what the scripture says about the Apostle Paul, his calling. God says that this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles. Gentiles, the Greek word is the word ethne. It's basically everybody outside of Israel. It's not a specific place. It's a specific grouping of people. So where do you need to go? Who do you need to serve to express that calling? 3 is the God factor. What is God doing to move you and to shape you and to help clarify things for you in this season where we are aware of what God is doing? many of us that would be able to testify to this, that we have lost a job or gotten sick or had something happen to us in our life, when you look back at it, you realize that it was actually a blessing that God was giving you to shape you for the next season of your life. Think about Joseph. Pastor Jake did a great job talking about Joseph, that Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. Then he was thrown into jail by Potiphar. And for 14 years, Joseph was in the middle of a cycle of suffering and accusation and disappointment. God raises him to second in command in Egypt, and here's what he says to his brothers who he's reunited with. He says, "And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." See, there was a purpose. God was doing something. Paul in prison, he's thrown into prison for preaching the gospel. He says, "Because of my chains," because there's a purpose. "Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly." I would say that if you're in a tough position, if you're in a tough season, God has progress for your mission right now. And you need to see and understand and know that God is doing something in the middle of all of this to prepare you for the next season of your life. Here's number four, is the stuck factor. That if you feel like you're stuck in a rut, it could be behavioral patterns. It could be bad habits. It could be lazy habits. It could be sin patterns. It could be anything like this. Think about Samson in the Bible, that he thwarted God's calling in his life because of his sin. Look at the trajectory of your life. Are you moving closer or further away to the calling that God has for your life? Here's number five, is the job factor. Is it an organization that needs to be adjusted? If you're a people person and you're gifted as an encourager and you're stuck in a cubicle all day, or you've got a burden to help people but you're in data entry, it could be time for a different job. How about this? Number six, the last one, is the 40-hour factor. That's how you spend your time every week. Maybe not be a new job, but it may be a tweak in your existing job. Maybe there's a 10% change that you can make in your current job description that will make a difference in God's calling in your life. Maybe there's a different way that you need to spend your time during the day. Maybe there's a different time you need to wake up or go to bed, or a new rhythm or a new habit that you need to start. A 40-hour factor. And you think about all of these different things. And I think that there's probably three logical conclusions that we're going to come to. Either number one is you're going to look at all of these things and you're going to look at your life and you're going to say, you know what? I don't need to make a change at all. Like right now, I'm living in God's sweet spot for my life. And if that's you, you better be in a growth group challenging and encouraging other people to get there. Number two is you may look at your situation, your season, and say, you know, I need to make a small change. You may process these things and you may discover that there's a small tweak that you can make to bring a greater level of alignment with the position that God has for you. Here's the last one. You look at these things, you think about your life, and you say, you know what? I need to make a big change. To live the life that God is calling me to live, knowing who I am in Christ, understanding my personal values, what He's called me to do, where He's positioned me to go, there's got to be a big change in my life. Here's the question we all need to ask ourselves. Are we in position? Because the wrong position will forfeit the mission that God has for your life. But here's the good news, is that being in the right position will accelerate the mission that God has for your life. The truth is that being in the right position doesn't happen by accident. It's going to require us to be intentional with our lives, to hear from the Holy Spirit, and then to act upon what He speaks. And so here's my challenge to everybody this week. To get in a growth group this week, even if you're not signed up, just put it on your Connect card. Have these conversations with other people, and let's move forward together in God's calling on our life so we can live a life of more. Would you bow your heads and pray with me today?